Yeah, I like I have it on my oh.
You got yeah.
That was new. Like it's now I need to consent to being recorded. Did anyone else get that just now?
Didn't always say that or
yeah,
No, you just get a this meeting is being recorded and that's it.
maybe they knew that Shmuel was divulging like sensitive information and then, like, oh, Shmuel, make sure you consented first. All right. So I wanted to, we're going to have a shorter chabura today. Just I want to discuss this short topic here. Let me share my screen. We've been discussing two related issues. Number one is Bahiana de Nafik Ale Kala de Inish Mehemin Hu Gamar Mishabe Nafshe, right? So how could a shomer be masmeh to modify his rules? So we saw 2 days in the Gemara, Machloket Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, whether you need a kinyan to modify the rules or whether it's sufficient to do this b'amira. Does this sound familiar? That's the Gemara on Tzadi Dalet, Machloket Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. What we had spent time in the last Kabura on was the discussion in the Rishonim, why is it that the sugya on Nun Zayin, which talks about a shomer on avadim shtaros ukarkos, a shomer who wants to be mekabel kinyan to have the liability rules, even though normally avadim shtaros ukarkos do not, there to opt in to the shomer liability rules. So the shomer were bothered by this by this discrepancy. Why is it on Tzadi Dalet in modifying the rules, Amira is sufficient or Bahiyana is sufficient, whereas on Nun Zayin, Rabbi Yochanan required a Ma'aseh Kinyan for Avadim Shtaros VeKarkos to trigger Shmir rules. Does everybody remember this? This is we spoke about in the last Chabura. We saw two different approaches in the Rishonim to explain this discrepancy. One view in the Rishonim is that there really is no fundamental difference. It's just a technicality about whether or not there's Hana in both cases. But in principle, opting in to become a Shomer for Avadim Shtaros VeKarkos is halachically identical to modifying the rules between a Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, Masna Shomer Chinam Lios Kisho, etc. The other view was that no, there's a fundamental difference between these things. One is about being a Shomer and just modifying the terms. That's sufficient by Amira and with Hana. The other is about triggering a Chiyuv Shmira when there isn't one, and that requires a Kenyan. Okay, that was the main discussion of the last Kabura. What I want to look at today is a related question that has two foci. So the first issue is I want to raise this question about within that discussion, should we distinguish between are you a shomer who succeeded in modifying the terms of the shmirah? Okay, that's one way of looking at it. You're let's say in the shomer chinam to shomer safar case, you have all the facts of a Shomer Chinam, but you've succeeded in modifying the liability rules to being a Shomer Sachar. Similarly, in the case of the Shomer on Avadim Shtaros VeKarkos, when he does a Kinyan, that Kinyan now makes him into a Shomer on Avadim Shtaros VeKarkos. Or is the right way to conceptualize these cases that really there's no Shmirah, there is an independent hischaivus which succeeds in mimicking some of the shomrim rules, but you haven't actually entered into the shmira relationship. You don't actually have shmira liabilities. Does everybody see that chakira? So are you actually within shomrim, or are you just mimicking the liabilities of shomrim? That's one question. Now, a related question to that is, so what is it that you're actually doing? Like, what's the halachic mechanism that's being appealed to create this result? Are we dealing with some sort of hischaivus or shibud? It's one possibility. Or are we dealing with a true notion of tanai, like, or something similar to tanai? that retinkers the default rules of the system, but not that you've now like have been mischayev yourself to some new type of obligation. Gabe, you have a comment on this, or
how is that different from the first question that you came?
Okay, good point.
I probably missed something, but
I mean, you think they're identical?
They sound like very similar questions.
Okay, so you'll see when we look at the Makoros, I think there's room to distinguish between them. I think you're right that if you're mimicking the rules of Shomrim without actually entering them, you have to embrace some notion of Shibud. Right? But I want to keep us open to the fact that maybe there's some conceptual difference between the two different questions, at least as the Achronim discuss them. All right? Okay. So let's take a look at the discussion here. So I want to start us off with this Rambam in Skiros Beis Tes. Anybody get a chance to look at this Rambam? I know we mentioned it briefly last Chabura. Just tell us, Shmuel, you saw this Rambam?
Yeah.
So just tell us, just tell us what's important about this Rambam.
Yeah, so it basically says you're able to stipulate that you have sort of a lower level of obligation than sort of we generally understand from each level of Shomer.
Yeah, you could stipulate lower or higher, right? Right, and Shomer Chinam Lios Potter Mishvua. So you could be Masneh both ways, right, Shmuel?
Yeah.
Okay. How does the Rambam, what's the underlying rationale for this, according to the Rambam?
Koltanai Mamon O Beshvua Shalmamon Kayam Ve'intar Chinyan Kinyan Vloedim. So if you make that Tanai, you don't have to go through all these formalities. It works.
Yeah. Now, what's striking here is he says, Ein Tzarech Kinyan, right? So he's paskening like Rabbi Yochanan against Shmuel, right? By who Hanah is sufficient. But the issue is, what did the Rambam do with the Bahu Hanah argument? The Gemara said, oh, because you're getting the Hanah of having the reputation of being a Shoel, that triggers the Gamar Meshabe Nafshe. But the Rambam just jettisoned that, right? The Rambam says you don't need a kinyan, it's Tanai Shel Mamon. The Rambam did not say that you require the added Hana. Right, Shmuel? So this puzzles some of the Mefarshim. And you can see here the Sefer HaTrumos runs with the Rambam's psak. But just to say one further thing on the Rambam's psak, it sounds to me that this is the purest form of modification, right? The Rambam's saying you can modify these rules. You don't need any kinyan because, you know, you could tinker with them as you enter into the agreement. Gabe, you have a hand on this? Oh, I don't know if Gabe was going to say something.
I just wanted to note an observation of Yakir's that the Rambam shifts from the lashon of the Mishnah. I mean, he's more focused on the chiyuvim and less on the categories. It's not no seschar, so no seschar v'socher lios kishoel. It's lios chayavin b'chol kishoel.
Pretty interesting. So you're saying it sounds more of like accepting the specific liabilities rather than, it sounds more like hischaivius to you?
Yeah, it sounds much more like hischaivius, that was Yakir's view, that you're not moving between these like silos or categories of shomerim, rather you're just like modifying.
That's pretty interesting. Would have been better if the Rambam was more in the Kinyan category then, right, for those to align. But essentially you're saying through Tanai, you could just agree to mimic the liability rules. That's how you want to read it. It's interesting. But let's look at the Sefer HaTrumos for a second, then come back to the Rambam. So the Sefer HaTrumos is discussing this idea of Ne'amanus. Now, Ne'amanus is when you write in a loan document that the malva is always believed to say it has not been repaid unless you have evidence of the loan being paid. So it basically shifts the burden of proof onto the lova. The malva is presumptively neman to say that he has not yet received payment, okay? So the Sefer HaTrumos argues don't think that you require a kinyan in order to insert a nemunas clause into a loan document. Meaning, you could just write, don't think that you have to do some separate hiskaivos or whatever in order to grant the malva nemunas. Al tita lomar shakinyan yitzarif la nemunas. Sha'af belo kinyan. If you know the custom is to write this nemunas as a serious thing, not just as a way of beautifying the document, but they wrote it with the permission of the lobe. You could do this even without a formal kinyan. And what's his raya? His raya is the Rambam's psak when it comes to masne shomer chinam lios pater mishvua the mari bishalok kanam yado Moshe Pirshar or Moshe. So the argument here is that generally to modify terms in the Nemunas, you don't need a separate kinyan. Tnayim stand on their own, and the proof text is the Rambam's psak on Shomer. And then he says over here, how do you read this line? Delav shibuda dinechasim isay dilitzarech kinyan. What do you think he's saying over here? What's the important claim? Cole, you have a...
Is it what you've just bolded?
Yeah, well, what is that claim?
There's no transfer... Because there's no transfer of a property interest, there's just a shift in the presumption of innocence. So, the burden of proof. So you don't need a kinyan.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. There's no
transfer. I don't know about this hasara business is like, I'm a little bit interested in like what that is. But
right. I think the way I understand it here is just a term, meaning it's a provision that if you want to be able to argue or demonstrate that the loan has been repaid, the burden's on you to get a receipt or to have witnesses who can testify on your behalf, right?
Right.
But you're right. It's not generating a new property interest. It's not generating.
It doesn't change the. Right. Crucially. Right. To get into the specifics of loans for a minute, just like. So I guess in the normal case, the love would be, the malve would be presumptively believed, right? If there's a, it depends if it's a shtard loan or not.
Right. So here we're just adding a little extra credibility to the malve. Right.
Is this a loan with the shtar? Presumably.
It says belik kibul shtar o shovar, right?
So you're
basically just adding terms to like when the lova will be believed to say that he paid up.
What I'm trying to say is that if a malve loans a lova money, which means there's a shibud that the malve now has against the love for repayment that generates some kind of a shibud, metaltalin, karka, doesn't matter. So that shibud, the kind of the effect of that at the remedial level is a kind of a chezkas ne'manus. A presumption in the malve's favor, the monetary momentum is going in his direction, which means the love has to prove that what Sefer Trumos is saying is that you can shift that remedial weight without affecting the substantive balance of shibudim that generated originally.
Yeah, that's a good way.
That's the way.
That's a good formulation.
Yeah.
But notice again the explicit opposition of shibud nechasim with this notion of tanai, right? So the idea that the tanai is working to modify some of the terms without getting into this notion of hiskaivus or shibud. And that's one of the key distinctions that I want to hone in on today, okay? I just want to draw to your attention again, the Gidui Truma, commenting on this Sefer Trumos, notes that the Rambam is a bit of a chiddush because the Rambam and the Sefer Trumos adopting the Rambam omit Rabbi Yochanan's requirement of Hanah. The Rambam just seems to allow for Tanai, even if there's no clear Hanah, to trigger the Tanai. And, you know, the Gidui Truma is a little uncomfortable with that. Like, why did the Rambam feel it's okay to allow Kol Tanai Shev Mamon and feel that it's perfectly fine to jettison the Hanah requirement when the Gemara seemed to need it? He says, Lama Kasav came to Stam, below period of time of the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, by Yana, etc., etc. The mashma the dafke b'chiyai gav the yikai time mahani below kinyan. Aval belav pachi the yikai kam midi lo shayek u hayde nafak ole kaala. Vaday lo mishabe nafshe below kinyan. The ilu b'chala the chayel harambam mashma mistam yuso da fila belav hay tam akosu tanay mamon kayem below kinyan. This is an interesting point about whether we actually require hana in these tanay shal mamon cases, or whether the Gemara just kind of threw it in there for good measure. So this is something I want to come back to in a moment, but notice if it's true that the Rambam thinks you could jettison the Tanai requirement, the Hanar requirement, then I think we're even further out of Kinyan, this Chayvus territory. And we're saying, look, this is a term that was agreed to. That's what makes it binding. We don't need some separate consideration to explain the new hiskaivos. We're not even looking at this as hiskaivos. So hold off on that point for a few moments. Okay, so that's what I wanted to discuss in the Gedulei Truma and the Sefer Trumos and the Rambam. Shmuel Rozovsky in his Shirim here in Bava Metzia adds a bit of an explanation to the Rambam's theory. So he quotes the Rambam in Siman Shin Mem Hei. Quotes the Rambam's language. The Rambam says that Kol Tanai Shev Mamon is Kayim. And look what he says over here. Let's see. Shmuel, did you get a chance to look at this Reb Shmuel yet, or you didn't get this far? No, you didn't get this far to Reb Shmuel. Gabe, did you see the Reb Shmuel? No? Yeah, Kira, why don't you just take a stab at this formulation in the Reb Shmuel over here?
Fine. So he says, Lashon Zeh Mashma Ktas, whom he didn't tonight Shabbat Mamon. I don't know why it's Mashma Ktas. So far, that's what he says. This is the Rambam says. Haydu Damasna, Dachin Yia Din Hashomer Shalo. Benimsa de Akinian le Din Shomer Ba'alma Mahani Kam Ga'alma Tosefes Shemosif Bidino.
How does he characterize the Rambam's Kol Tanai Shev Mamon Kayim principle?
He says that the Rambam is construing this as a Tanai on the terms of, like, it's an adjustment of the terms of this Shmira. And therefore, whatever Kinyan you have for Shmira in general will include this adjustment.
Exactly. Meaning, the way I understand this, is look, every Shmira, when you do a Kinyan to become a Shomer, it has assumed terms, the terms the Torah sets up. When you modify those terms through a Tanai, so your regular Kinyan to become a Shomer is now just includes, his, now is now, instead of being a Kinyan to be a Shomer in the Torah sense, you've now done a Kinyan for the type of Shmira with the terms that you agreed to. Right, Yakir? So there's no separate hischaivus. The idea is, kain yi adin hashomer shalo. This is just the type of shmira that you're nachis to. So instead of a shmira schinam, this is instead a shmira schinam prime, right? Or a hybrid type of shmira, however you characterize it. But you don't need a separate kinyan because the very kinyan that works to create the shomer relationship in general is going to be effective for entering your modified shmira relationship. And then he says again here, Nothing Adin's hand. Vahainu Bivadai, Dekain Chal Hadin Shomer Shalo. This is not a Din Shmira with some extra Hiskaivas or a different type of Shibud. Just the normal Din Shmira is slightly modified by Tanai. And he says to be here, and here's just like a nice way of getting out the dialectic. You have to just read this line. Dimlo Tema Hachi. Dilo Tema Hachi.
Dilo Tema Hachi. Ela dehi hishaibus mamon havadai dezarech kenyan.
Yeah. So what's the point?
So like if it had been a separate new hishaibus, that would certainly require a separate kenyan.
Right. So I think this is just like a nice way of being very explicit about this difference between hishaibus on the one hand and tnai shel mamon on the other hand. He's thinking a separate hishaibus would require a separate ma'isa kenyan. But if you're just tinkering with the underlying rules of Shomrim, then you could do that through a Tanai. There's no separate kinyan required. When you enter into the Shmira relationship, it's that Shmira relationship that you defined through Tanai that you're entering into. So everybody see the clear opposition of the Hiskaivas paradigm with the Tanai paradigm? Adin, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, do we think within this Lashon, like at least so they chooses to say, Gamkin Latosefet Shamosif Bedino. Would this? It happens to be that the case we're speaking about is a supplement in Shmira, but one that is subtracted, or whatever the fancy word for that is. Like, is this like I'm able to piggyback additions onto the Shmira, but not necessarily like let's say I want to have some lower hischaivos than a Shomer Chinam. If that's
I think it's right. I think this is poorly phrased. I think he should have said like the alteration. Right, your mechat, like when you do the kinyan for the shmira, that's for the altered shmira. Lav dafka tosefes.
There could be an argument that you can piggyback things onto the thing, but subtracting from them gets into our whole discussion from a few weeks back of like maybe that's like too much of a modification of the principle that you can't necessarily piggyback.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's an interesting point. I don't think that's what he's going for here, but I hear how related to that earlier discussion, you could look at it through that lens. Look at this next line. I thought this is an interesting line. So the way he sets it up, there are three paradigms. There's Shmuel, who requires a kinyan. There's the Rambam, who says that you don't need anything. A Tanai itself is sufficient. And then there's Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara who says, well, you need Ahi Hana Dinafika Lekala Dinash Mehemnehu Gamar Meshavi Nafshe. So is the Ahi Hana principle, is that fundamentally a principle of Kinyan, or is that a principle of Tanai Shel Mamon? Like where do you think Rabbi Yochanan falls on the spread? Everybody see the question? Everybody see the... Shmuel, you see the question? Is Rabbi Yochanan like in the Rambam's camp where Shmuel has it? Gabe, is Rabbi Yochanan in Shmuel's camp requiring a kinyan, just that Hana suffices as a form of kinyan? Gabe?
I know I missed Thursday's Kabur, but I was curious if we addressed this question with regards to the first answer in Tosfos about Kohalim Svurin that he was Migmar Nafshei, which I think like is one take on this answer, that there's something about the external validation of the Hana, which is somewhere between Kinyan and Tanai, I don't know, or a third option.
Right. So look what he says, or Shmuel says, Vafilu Rabbi Yochanan Desfirlu Devahi Hana Kegamar Meshavi Nafshei, Hainu dezehu kinyano, which is an interesting position. At this point, at least he wants to say that that's a form of kinyan, and Rabbi Yochanan just thinks that hana suffices to constitute a kind of kinyan. Or he says, he's not sure about this. And then he throws in, oh, dinamid of chiyagavna lo tzarech maista kinyan. So he's a little on the fence about how to characterize Rabbi Yochanan's view. But either way, he's very clear that the Rambam's position of Tanai Shel Mamon is to be opposed to this notion of Hiskaivos. Look over here again in the next in this paragraph, he says, Vaday Sfir Lula Rambam Dev Emes Listam Hiskaivos Tzarech Kinyan. Were this to be true Hiskaivos, you would require a real Kinyan to generate it. The reason why you don't require a Kinyan here. And that's why you could do away with the Maisa Kinyan. Okay. But then Reb Shmuel goes full circle. And he says this. So take a look, everyone. Just look here. At this line for a second. V'nira digam Shmuel. And tell me what you think he's saying.
So he's saying that. So Shmuel, like, he's like, the Shmuel slash Kuliyama thinks that, like, that you're it's still the same Din Shomer. It's not a new thing that you're. It's he just thinks that the regular, like, you need an additional Kinyan to do that, but that it's still like, okay, so you need a separate or additional Kinyan, but that doesn't change the fact that it's still the original Din Shmira just modified.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Meaning, until now, Reb Shmuel was saying the reason why Tanai Shel Mamon does not require a Kinyan is because it's not a Hiskaivos. It's just a modification of the rules, just altering the rules. But Shmuel, who requires a Kinyan, he's thinking it's a type of Hiskaivos. Right? That was this phrase over here. Stam Hiskaivos would require a Kinyan. I guess he doesn't. So Shmuel doesn't say explicitly that Shmuel and the Gemara would require.
Sorry.
If you hold it's a Kinyan,
yeah, sorry.
If you hold it's a Kinyan, then you think it's Hiskaivos. But here he wants to say maybe Shmuel and the Gemara, who thinks you need a Kinyan, agrees that it's not Hiskaivos. So. Hiskaivos requires a Kinyan, but not every Kinyan implies Hiskaivos. Even just to modify the rules of Shmira requires a Maisa Kinyan to modify the basic rules. He's a little bit on the fence about that. Then he turns to that Tosos that we discussed last week. Tosos argued that if you are a Shomer Chinam, who's trying to make a tznai to become a shomer sachar, it's sufficient to have amira ba'alma because you're just altering the rules. But if you're a non-shomer, like an avadim shtaros v'karkos, who wants to accept shmira in those cases, there you do require a maisa kinyan because there you're creating a whole new category of liability when it didn't exist at all, right? So he quotes Tosvos, and he said, Ayin Tosvos Parakazah, which you read on Thursday, which you read last week, Vitzarech lomar bekavanasam. A shomer chinam does not require a kinyan to become a shoel. Dehave shomer ela demosif achiyu beTorah. Aval behektish dinismayit legamri midine shomrim. Velo have ela hischayvus baalma tzarech kinyan gamur. So the argument here is. The case of Avadim Shtaros and Karkos, where you're a non-Shomer trying to take the liabilities of a Shomer, how does that work conceptually? What's the halachic mechanism?
It's like a regular new type of Hiskaivos, which needs a Kinyan.
Yeah, it's a regular Hiskaivos that requires a Kinyan. Masha Ein Kein Shomer Chinam to Shomer Sachar. That's the modification of the rules, which doesn't require a kinyan. That's how he wants to explain Tosfos. Now, that's like an interesting suggestion. The Minchas Chinuch here has an excellent nafgamina to that discussion. Anybody get a chance to see this Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Nun Zion? Really, really just perfect Minchas Chinuch.
Yeah.
Adam?
Yeah, I mean, he just draws the distinction between classic if it's Midin Shomer versus Chayavos. If it's Midin Shomer, then the collection will be from the Ediot, otherwise it'll be from the Zubarit.
Excellent. Yeah. Exactly, Adam. Really good. If I could find my hand clapping thing, I would over here. But I can't find it right now on my screen. Perfect. That's exactly right. So the Minchas Chinuch, everyone else is clapping for you. The Minchas Chinuch says, here's a perfect nafkamina. We know that a shomer is obligated to pay from Edis. It says over here, Kol HaShomer Tzichim L'Shalem Edis, Perakam B'Olakama, Shachris Tad Yalef, Venirli, the im shomer chinam hisne lios kishoel venenas, shechayiv l'shalim, sarach gamkin l'shalim miidios. According to this view, that's a case of modifying the shomer rules, not a case of independent tischayivos. Because if the liability works internally midin shomer, it's going to trigger the shomer rules of paying from idios. Correct? Make sense? Oh. But he said, and he has a nice formulation here. He says, "Im kein legamre dine kishoel umeshalim gam kein medios, aval bekarkos avadim mishtaros bechadome, shelochi vaTorah bedin shomrim." There, there's no shomrim basis for liability, and instead, al karchach bayi kinyan to have lechiv chadash. This is like a de novo generation of new liability. So I think that's just like such a perfect Shkayach Adam. I think it's like such a perfect nafgamina to this question of whether you're working mitam shomrim or mitam independent hischayvus. The Minchas Chinuch argues, based off Tosfos' distinction about one requiring a kinyan and the other not requiring a kinyan, that the one that requires a kinyan is separate hischayvus, so that's not shomrim, so therefore doesn't trigger idis. The one that does not require a kinyan is internal to shomrim, that's tanai shel mamon, within hilchos shomrim, and it does require payment from idis. Does anybody see the Minchas Chinuch's analysis? Okay. Questions on the analysis? What do you think is the vulnerable assumption of the Minchas Chinuch analysis, though? What's he assuming in trying to map Tosfos's Yesh Kinyan Avadim Shtaros V'Karkos, no Kinyan for Masna Shomer Chinam Lios Kishoel, onto this Idis question?
Well, it assumes that when the Gemara exempts, it's maybe even a little bit backwards. Like it assumes that when the Gemara exempts certain like kinds of property from Shmira, that you can just like, you know, you could just like whole, you know, if you just get the method of agreement right, you can like wholesale import the dinim.
Yeah, that's a really good point. One thing it assumes is that, you know, it's like really easy just to mimic these things through hischayvus, right? That's not always the case.
It's not just it's not just that shomer. I mean, you know, like it doesn't take the Gemara seriously. Like I would have thought that, you know, karka, etc., those kinds of things are like, and there are good reasons for all three actually. Like that's right. Not just, you don't need to hook all that.
Though I should point out the Rush is even more controversial on this front, because he says you could accept Dine Shmira without a Kenyan, right? On that view of the Rush.
I don't remember what we saw last week. Okay.
But look here at this other assumption that I think Reb Shmuel attacks in the Shirei Reb Shmuel there in this section. So he says, Uve MS. So after making an argument along the lines of the Minchas Chinuch that a shomer who accepts liability for avadim shtaros v'karkos is working b'toras his chayvos, whereas a shomer shomer chinam was masna liyo shomer sachar is working midin tznai, says Uve MS de Ainz dein hechrof. Yekir, you want to read this section for us? Uve MS.
Says Uve MS de Ainz hechrof de b'toras v'hazav de hekde shavis chayvos ba'alma. So he says that it's possible that even if you require a kinyan, that doesn't necessarily prove that you are dealing with a new chayvos. It could be that creating a new type of shmira requires kinyan. I'm not sure what exactly this distinction is between kinyan gamor and kinyan hashomer ba'alma, but it requires a new kinyan of some sort.
Yeah, the kinyan hashomer ba'alma, he just means like accepting the object, right? That you're accepting the object. Could work to trigger the background understanding of how the shmira is going to work.
Okay.
So he's thinking if you're trying to like create a category of shomrim that doesn't yet exist, like a shomer and a avadim shtaros v'karkos, it could be that works midine shomrim, and that will trigger a chiv of idis, but you need a maisa kinyan to get it off the ground. You see that, Yekir?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And maybe just the Kinyan Gamor is throwing me. I don't know if Kinyan Shomer and Ba'alma are incomplete somehow, but
yeah. Okay. You could just say like a separate Maisa Kinyan. Maybe that's like a Kinyan Sudar to
right.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So basically, but the interesting thing about this Reb Shmuel is that he's very open-minded, and yet, you know, Cole wouldn't like this. That someone...
hate all open-mindedness.
Right, well, not the open-mindedness part that you're not going to like. I'm saying the specific suggestion that the Torah recognizes a shame shomer on avadim shtaros v'karkos, who would have to pay me'idis. It's just that you need a ma'isa kinyan to get that off the ground. Right, Cole?
Yeah, I don't... I guess I guess my objection is like I don't know what the kinyan. This is actually a fee. It's actually a systematic examination of this question would be both exhausting and maybe fruitful. But like you know, sometimes if the Rishonim want to like do something in Chush and Mishpat, they're like, oh yeah, so you can't do this normally, but with a Maisa kinyan, you can do it. That adds like you know, Maisa you know, kinyanim are supposed to like. Give you legal superpowers that you wouldn't otherwise have. So it's just not clear that this is the right kind of tool.
Yeah, it's an interesting point.
My thought would have been that the specific kinds of entities are not eligible for particular kinds of relationships, right. No matter how you affect those relationships.
Right. So trade-off either way you go here, right? So if you think that Kinyan is there to create an alternative type of hischaivus that's not going through the track of Shmira, you run into your problem of, well, why is it so easy to just, you know, pick out the rules of Shmira and replicate them through hischaivus, right, Cole? On the other hand, if you think that Kinyan is used to actually generate a shem shomer and avadim shtaros v'karkos, then you have this chiddush about the flexibility or the malleability of the basic rules of Shomrim. So I think either way you go on this question, there's a chiddush to be derived. Now, let me just say one more point, one more comment here. The Minchas Chinuch, in making this argument, I'll make this point actually more explicitly in the Ktzos HaChoshen, but if you notice over here, when the Minchas Chinuch wants to say that Masna Shomer Chinam Lios Keshoel is just altering the rules of Shomrim, and you don't need it, and that's why you don't need a Kinyan. Look what he says. So look at it. Lufimasha Kosav Tosvos, Parakaf Alpi, Da Torah Yarda Lesov Daitan Shal Shomrim, De Rotze and Lechai Vanachsman Shamrachin and Bipshia. Okay, not Torah Chiva Osam. But by Masna Shamrachin and Leos Pater Bipshia, Kivan Dena Rotze Leos Chai Pater. So he cites this Tosvos. This is the Tosvos which said, God who mentioned it earlier today, that look, the reason why the Torah sets up the liability rules for Shomrim the way it does is because it's like Yored L'sof Da'ito Shel B'nei Adam. Right? It's really just trying to get into people's heads to see what kinds of liability would they be accepting. In which case, when they explicitly provide for a certain type of liability, right? Im kein b'masna shemachinam lios kishoel kivan sherotzeh l'chayev atzmo yoser ha'torah chiyev oso al kein m'schayev b'dvarim ba'alma Kivan Jehu Rotze Chiva HaTorah also. Kivan Jehu Rotze, since he wants it, the Torah is Mechayev himself in it. The Torah is Mechayev him with that liability. So this is like a general, I would say, very broad suggestion about the nature of how Shmira works. Right? It's something unique about Shmira that the Torah is just trying to be Mechayev you to the amount that you want to be Chayev. So once you make that Tanai, that's going to fully govern the rules of Shomrim. So this is like an added layer of explanation to explain why uniquely Tanai Shel Mamon should be so effective in the context of Shomrim. The idea being that in certain areas, the Torah is just looking to impose liability or the liability rules that you yourself are willing to accept. All right. Now, the Minchas Chinuch appeals to that theory and he appeals to the Ketzos in explaining why you wouldn't need a kinyan for Masna Shemrachinam Lioske Shoah. And the Ketzos has this also in Shemem Sivkat and Aleph over here at the end of the piece. He says over here, again, like the Minchas Chinuch, that you don't need a kinyan for Masna Shemrachinam Lioske Shoah because the Torah just mechayev you to the amount that you want. Aval Hanach de Ispuhu Din Shomrim. Lo chiva Torah hashomrim biyoser midaitan. Right, so it's just like the Torah just wants to mechayev you based off what you want. B'chim b'kulan, aval heicha deshibet afshe biyoser mishamachinam chayev b'dvarim ba'alma. So it's not his chayvus at all. It's just the background facts that trigger the kind of liability that the Torah is going to impose. Right, so the Torah is trying to match like your mental state or something like that in assigning to you liabilities of shmir. Okay. I want to now turn to the last thing I want to discuss for today. And that is, so one nafkamina to this question of whether it's hischaibas or tapping into the rules of Shmira is idis. That's what the Minchas Chinuch gives us. What would be another natural nafkamina to this question? Or some halachic issue that might turn on whether we're dealing with Shomrim or hischaibas?
Shvua.
Shvua is an interesting question. We're going to talk about that briefly in the next chabura. Think in terms of like davar shelo bala olam and like what things you could be mischayev yourself for.
Okay, the range of the shibud.
Yeah, I mean they're just natural limits when you talk about hischayevus. Right? What could I voluntarily obligate myself in? Could I obligate myself to a liability if I have no assets to back up the liability? Right, cool. You have a whole range of.
Yeah, in the world of Shibude Guf, I don't know how much of a
okay.
Nafkamina. Yeah.
Well, good, but the jurisprudence.
Go ahead.
The jurisprudence of the world of Shibude HaGuf is partially derived from our sugya of Masna Shomrachinam Lios Keshoa. Like, how does anybody know? How do we?
Oh, is that right? Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So look at this Tosis and Ksivis.
I thought it was a Malvivalovis sugya.
So look at this Tosos. This is a Tosos in Ksivis, Bayadin, Chow. Look at this. This is a nice Tosos in Ksivis. He talks about a husband who's being Machayev himself in a Ksiva. and he wants to be machayev himself more than the base amount that you're normally chayev for. Imratza lahosif afilu me'aman emosif. I was thinking he machayev himself for more than the base amount. Tosus asks, Tema, da'achshav nagu shakosev hachasam mekala me'alitrin, afal pi she'en lo shav apruta. So the custom was for the chasam to machayev himself, you know, a large amount of money to his kala, even though he doesn't have a cent to his name. And he says, you know, just how could he do that? Were he to have these possessions and then he lost the possessions, that would make sense, because the moment that he was mechayev himself, he had the things, so there's enough to generate the liability, et cetera, et cetera. But about also she'en lo, if you mamish have nothing at the time that you're trying to generate the shibud, heich yishtabe nechasav she'yikne achare kein, kivan shelo neschayev la, hainu davar shelo bal yolam. You know, it's kind of davar shelo bal yolam to be mischayev yourself now when you have no assets. It's also davar shelo bal yolam to mischayev future assets if there's nothing right now to reify the or to guarantee the liability. Does everybody see Tosis's objection? So it's an objection on the kinds of hischayevus you could voluntarily generate. Vishal re l'Rabbeinu Eliyahu, Rabbi Eliyahu, so the re poses question to Rabbi Eliyahu. The Heshivlo, so look at this goal. The Matsinu ki inyan zev parakasokar sapolin. The Tanya Masna Shemachinum Lios Kishoel, the Parach Bemai, Bidvarim, Umashani Bishakonim Yado. Mashma, the whole inyan, Afapisha ain machnilo shem nechasim, Ella Shemishabi gufo lezehacho. Meata. Ukshayu lo nechasim chal shibudo. Meata. The Ein Zekinyan Dvarim Ba'alma. So what's the argument here that Rabbi Eliyahu offers to the Re? What's the argument from our sugya?
Even though it's a, I guess the, even though there's no generation of a shibud, nechasim, that would require actual ownership. It's an obligation, you have like an obligation to pay abstractly.
Yeah, and then where does that obligation fall?
You mean it falls on the person.
Exactly, right? It sounds, and I think this is really interesting. You know, the supposed proof from our sugya is just that masna shomer chinam lios kishoel sounds like a personal liability, not a liability that requires like particular assets to be reified in. Isn't that the argument, right? It's just like, oh, look, over there, mashma b'cholinian, af b'shein machna lo shum nechasim, he's mishabed gufo. So you see that there's this notion of like shibud haguf, which is like independent of the nechasim that are supposed to back it up. Do you agree, Shmuel, Yakir? Do you guys...
This is very nice for proving... So I'm not actually sure that that's what's going on in our... What's the evidence that that's what's going on in our sugya? I don't see any reason to think... I'll put it this way. There is a debate in Hamafkid. It's like a big chakira in Hilchos Shomrim, maybe like the chakira. Is this just how much is my relationship with this person and like non-transferable and stuff like that? And how much is this just, almost like a conditional sale of... that gets canceled in case of non-performance, but can be transferred in all sorts of things. There's like a whole list of tekus back and forth in Hamafkid that deals with this question. So, sorry. So I guess the question is, like, you know, to the extent this is, you know, just, it was like, I'm trusting this guy to do some stuff with my property and he'll have to pay, but there's no need, but it's not like a conditional exchange, which exchange gets canceled by correct performance. Then, okay, so then we have an idea of a shibud guf, and that's kind of, you know, the emergence of shomrim out of sales and into contracts, is the way I would put it. But I don't see, or maybe not, or maybe, you know, Hilcho Shomrim obeys the kind of property paradigm that we find elsewhere. Either, however you take sides in that argument, which is an interesting argument, I don't see why the transition from regular Shomrim to Shomrim Prime would indicate a difference in the kind of shibud.
Okay.
What I'd say.
Yes, I think a way of just reformulating that last point is, isn't it controversial to think that this is based off like isn't the Tosfos assuming that this is based off a type of hischaivus?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes.
Right. I mean,
at least Shmira Prime is a kind of hischaivus.
Exactly. Exactly. And what we just saw in the Achronim, what they were arguing is like, no, Minchaschina of the Tosfos. They're Shmuel Rosovsky. I thought they were all arguing, saying that, no, like, this is Tnai Shel Mamon, which is about just modifying the underlying Shmira rules. That's not his Chayvus Shel Mamon. And then Tosas and Sivis on the Dalid appears to be appealing to Masna Shemachim Leos Kishoel to prove that, oh yeah, there's this notion of Mishabe Gufo, which doesn't require Shiva Nechasim. And that could set the paradigm for a husband trying to be Mishabe Gufo for a certain amount of Iksuva, even if he has no Nechasim. But if you accept the argument of the Menchaschinach and Rosh Morozovsky and that whole group, then the Gemara Bamitzi is a horrible paradigm because it's not Hischaivus. It's not Mishabe Gufo Bechlal, right? It's really just modifying the underlying Shomrim track, not generating some sort of de novo liability. Anybody, isn't that right? Yeah, cool, I see you're giving me a thumbs up. Yakir, do you agree?
I'm not sure I followed 100%.
Tosfos assumes a highly controversial, Tosfos assumes two things. One, the basic paradigm of Shmira involves some kind of Shibud Nechasim. And two, the transition from Shmira to Shmira Prime involves a transition from a Shibud Nechasim to a Shibud Guf. Which Shibud Guf is now the paradigm for how you can borrow money? Well, he's talking about more than borrowing money. It's about Iksuva without actually owning property. Most of those inferences in there are unwarranted, at least as Tosfos has presented them. Those are highly controversial, like, higher order conceptual points that are not at all clear from the sugya.
Meaning, Tosfos is assuming that the Gemara and Sadi Dalid can show us that there is a form of hischaivus haguf, which could be the paradigm for a husband being mechayiv himself the money of a ksuba, even if he has no assets. That assumes, to my mind, that Sadi Dalit is about his chayvus and not about triggering a certain custom-made route of Shmira. You see that, Yek, here? So the Minchas Chinuch and Shmuel Rozovsky were all arguing that Sadi Dalit is about Tanai Shel Mamon, meaning the Torah has these different routes of Shmira. You could custom tailor your track of Shmira. And that's why you could Shamrachino ki masna lios ki shoel v'chule. Tosos here seems to be arguing that this argumar is about his chayvus, de novo, not about Shmira rules. And this shows that there, and the Gemara then therefore shows that there's a notion of shibud haguf without there being any assets to back it up. You see that, Yakir?
I'm still not sure if I'm following, but probably just because I'm not I'm not familiar with the context of this Tosfos and Ksubos. But yeah, it's, I mean, the argument seems to turn on the fact that only newest Chaivos would be a good paradigm for this case in Ksubos, not a modification. I don't know if that's true because I don't know enough about the case in Ksubos, but assuming that you're right that that's true, then yeah.
Right. Okay, good. But notice even, that's your homework is to look at that Ksubos again, Ksubos closely and demonstrate that I'm right. All right. even just look at the language of Tosfos. Shemeshabed gufo lezehacho meata, right? It sounds very hischaivos based. Notice here, also Tosfos is a very famous distinction. Be'ein zeh kinyan dvarim. So kinyan dvarim is a no good kinyan. A kinyan dvarim is a kinyan to do something. This is an important distinction. You can make a kinyan that does something now. You can't make a kinyan obligating yourself to do something in the future. And Tosfos says, the Einzak Kinyan Dvarim, in the Shomer case, the Kinyan Dvarim lohava elaka hidereish bava basra, shekanu miyadam lachlo chatzer shein badin chaluka. So to make an agreement to later in the future divide a chatzer, that's a Kinyan to do something which is not valid. Aval masha mishabed gufo l'schayev l'davar zeh mishtabed, the Einzak Kinyan Dvarim ba'alma. But like in a shomer who's accepting liability to be a shomer kinam, that's a form of shibud gufo. That's totally fine. So Tosfos thinks that there's a distinction to be drawn between a promise to do something and a hischaivos right now to mishabed gufa or present shibud aguf for the rules of shomer. Okay, so what the important thing for this Tosfos right now is that I just wanted to tease out. Is what it seems Tosfos is assuming that the Masna Shomer Chinam Leos Kiddush Shoel is not about Tanai Shel Mamon, and it's not about the different tracks of Shomrim. It's about this underlying conception of a Hischaivos Begufo, which is in the Hischaivos track. Okay. Now, the last point I want to make in this discussion is brought up by Rabbi Akiva Eiger, commenting on this Tosfos. So first he quotes the Marsha, who just says, you know, mechatesi, that the Gemara in Bava Metzia is a case of being meshabe gufo. Maybe the Masna Shomer Chinam Leos Kishoel only works for somebody who has assets that could, you know, be mortgaged to back up his liability. That's the Marsha's objection to Tosfos' proof from Bava Metzia at Tzadi Dalet. What do you think of that objection? I mean, that's clearly thinking in terms of his Chaivos paradigm. No, Yakir, would you concede that? If you think that you need real assets to generate this liability?
Do you generally need assets for Shmira to become a Shomer in general?
I would be very surprised.
Yeah.
That's true.
Then probably this. Assumes that we're not working within modifying Shmira.
Right, and that's the Marsha's answer. Retirates to Hasa Mashmash Eno Makna Hanachasim Rakshim Shabed Gufo Lasa Shmir Mula. You know, Stam, when you're talking about Shomrim, it's about the type of Shmira you're accepting, not about some Hischaivos and assets. Right, so I think that's the Marsha's, you know, Havamina and Maskana here is basically about is this pure Hischaivos thing, or is this more about the responsibilities of a Shomer? I just wanted to draw your attention to Rabbi Akiva Eiger's analysis here, and then we'll tie up some of this on Thursday. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, shouldn't this question maybe depend about whether a Shomer Chinam could be Masna Leos Kishoel on when the critical moment of Chiyuv goes into effect for a Shomer. So you'll recall that we saw the Gemara in Lamed Daled in Ksuvis, the case of the Yarshim who inherited the father, the borrowed cow from their father. And the Gemara seemed to have two deos, whether the critical moment of liability for a Shoel is Bishas HaSheila or Bishas HaOnas. Somebody remember this? There was like a Kimle Bajabamine question there. And that got into this extensive discussion, is the liability, is the crucial moment of liability when you borrow the thing? That's when you undertake responsibility. Or does the liability of the shomer only go into effect when the damage actually occurs? So the Rabbi Yeger quotes the Rambam. The Rambam posek, k'man d'amar mishash she'ela is chayv labonsin. So the Rambam says, the liability is mishash she'ela. Okay? And Rabbi Yeger argues, u'me'ata, im isa divishoel mishas misa mishtabdu hanefasim, if the liability is really mishas ha'onis, im kein ze shomer chinam shemasne lios kishoel masne gam kein b'im yera ones yischayvu hanechasim b'shas ha'ones v'have kem masne sheyishtabdu l'achar lamed yom. So what do you think he's saying here? What's his objection? He's saying if those other poskim are right, that the crucial moment of liability when a shomer becomes chayiv is not when he accepts shmirah, but when the ones occurs. What problem does he think you run into? What's he thinking about here? V'hechi mahani kanu miyado dehahave kekone bekinyan sudar sheyakne la'achar zman. Dilo mahani. What's he thinking?
There's this general principle that kinyan sudar can only work immediately. We can't have a delayed effect kinyan sudar.
That's right. It's similar to the kinyan dvarim type problem, right? It's a can't be a kinyan to do something later, or a kinyan to take effect later. So he's worried that if the crucial moment of liability for a shomer chinam, for a shomer sachar, for a shoel, is when the ones occurs, how could he make a kinyan now, at the time the agreement is entered into, to be liable for the later event, right? It's like a delayed effect of the kinyan because the kinyan is only triggering the liability at the later point. Does everybody see that? So this whole analysis here, so he says, it must be the Rambam's right. It must be at the crucial moment of liability is mishash she'ela. That's the only way to make sense of Masna Shomer Chinam Lios Kishoel, because that explains how you could front load the liability into the Shas Shela. If the crucial moment is later, then there's no way to be Masna Lios Kishoel to become Chayav L'Achar Zman. That's the objection. So what paradigm of liability is Rabbi Yeger assuming here? What paradigm for Masna Shomer Chinam Lios Kishoel is he clearly assuming?
I would assume that he's assuming this is part of Shmira. It's a Shmira paradigm.
You think so? See, I would have thought if you're dealing with a Shmira paradigm, so the Hischayv, the Kinyan Sudar is not for the later liability. I would have thought that the Kinyan Sudar is just to bump you into the category of a Shoel. And once you're in the Shoel category, it just, right now, you did a Kinyan to make yourself a Shoel. Once you're a Shoel, the normal Shoel rules follow through whenever they do.
Where, isn't that exactly what's, meaning, isn't the whole question he's dealing with is whether, is when you're a Shoel, what is the crucial moment? Like when do you become a liable shoel now or later? Meaning, if this is about a separatist laivos that has nothing to do with the shomrim, then it should have absolutely no bearing on this machlokas based on the sugya and lamed aleph about when shomrim become liable. because we're not talking about a shomer. We're talking about something completely different.
The fact that
there's any bearing on this seems to imply that we must be within the world of shomerim.
I guess unless he's saying when I take a kinyan to be chayav kishoel. So if it's his chayvus, then on the assumption that the shoel is only chayav mishas ha'ones, then I'm doing a hischaivus now to become chayav mishas misa. Right? And he's thinking that that's a delayed effect to the kinyan sudar. But Yakir, consider if the kinyan is as Reb Shmuel suggested in his second point, that the kinyan is just to bump you into the category of being a shoel, then the kinyan is not having a delayed effect. It's just the liability rule of the shoel that you opted into, which has a delayed effect. That's true for all shoelim, for all shomerim. What the kinyan's accomplishing is the present moment establishment of Dine Shmira, of Dine Shoel. No?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I would say is that for all shoalim, this depends on what happens with all shoalim, I guess. Meaning it's equally plausible, at least, that for all shoalim, what happens is you have this an initial kinyan, which simultaneously puts into effect, your responsibilities as a shoel now and your later liability. And when you want to now bump yourself up to be a shoel, you need a kinyan that is able to simultaneously put into effect your responsibilities and your liability. Assuming that this will work, like you said, seems to assume some particular makes some assumptions at least about how the liability comes into effect.
Yeah, I know. The way I read Rabbi Akiva Eiger is that his question, his objection here, assumes his chayvus. And then if you think the kinyan is here to trigger his chayvus, you get into this problem about delayed his chayvus. So I'm doing a kinyan now to make me liable when the ones occurs. That's a hischaivus paradigm of liability. That's how I was reading it. And then I think his answer to that objection is no. Lo dehakinyan hu al shiba nechasav b'shas ones. It's not that the kinyan is on the shiba nechasav to go into effect b'shas ones. Ela dehakinyan hu al shem mishabe nafsho lishmor meha onsen velios kishoel. The kinyan is actually here to make himself like a shoel, to trigger shoel rules. The im yara ones memela neschayev. Right, and then like what creates the liability when the ones occurs is just the fact that he's a shoel. How did he become a shoel? Oh, he became a shoel because the kinyan turns him into one. So Yakir, the way I read the back of the Shaka Vitaria and Rabbi Akiva Eiger is that the havamina, meaning Rabbi Akiva Eiger's objection, how could you have a delayed kinyan hischaivus, is assuming that the kinyan suitor is working mitam hischaivus. Then you get into delayed liability questions. But if you think the kinyan suitor is there to make himself into, to trigger the rules of shomrim, then it has a present, like it's created right now, it has a present effect right now. The later liability is just an automatic consequence of his present status of a shomer that he got b'shas hakinyan. So I actually think Rabbi Akiva Eiger is going, his back and forth here turns on whether you think that the kinyan is working with tam hischaivus or to trigger rules of shmira. You see that in the language at all, Yakir?
No, but I would have to read it more carefully before I stand behind that. No. Right, but yeah, at least on first glance, it just seems to be a completely orthogonal issue. This is just a question of does the kinyan trigger the liability, or does the kinyan trigger the responsibility, the shmira responsibilities, which will then memela give rise to liability? That's a question you can ask in a shomrim context. That's also a question you can ask in a hiskaivus, which is mimicking shomrim context.
That's really interesting. I like that. Very interesting. See, I wonder if that comment touches on the discussion with Gabe earlier about, you know, two different types of hiskaivus issues. Like, I want to think more about that. So you have a different way of reading this line. See, I read this line as saying, oh, it's about, is the kinyan hiskaivus, or is the kinyan creating the shame shoel? That's going to determine the nafkamina, whether the kinyan has a delayed effect or a present effect. That's how I was reading this. Okay, so, yeah.
Yeah, I would focus, this is something not in the context of Kavega or in a different context, but Gabe pointed to this when we were learning. I'd focus on like the distinction here, turning on Shiva Nuchasa versus Meshabed Nafsho. I think it's a question about the type of Shiva that you're creating. Those are the words I would bold and underline and whatever.
Right. So let's talk about that in the next Chabura. So just to summarize the main points from today. So number one, just wanted to bring out the main distinction between the idea of Tanai, which the Rambam uses as modification of the rules, and the idea of Hischaivus, which is, as Kolk said, it's a property-like way of generating liability to another party, and using the notions of Hischaivus to mimic the liability rules of Shomim. There seems to be a strong view in the Achronim that a kinyan is more closely associated with hischaivus, right, to generate the de novo liability, rather than tanai shel mamon, which you could just do verbally, and once you make the verbal tanai, that'll trigger a certain track of shomrim to look a certain way. So there's definitely a trend in the Achronim here, the Pitzos and the Menchas Chinuch, to align up the views that say, if you require an Shmuel Rozovsky, if you require a kinyan, a Baikal, if you require a kinyan, then you're in his Chaivas camp. If you don't require a kinyan, you're in Tanai camp. The Menchas Chinuch offered us like a really nice nafgamina, I think, to this question, about whether you require idis or no idis. If you're in Tanai Shel Mamon camp, you're in the Shomrim track, the modified Shomrim track, you're gonna be mechayev idis. If you're in the Hischaivus track, there's no reason to be mechayev idis. That was the Menchas Chinuch's nafkamina. I wanna also add that the Menchas Chinuch went a little deeper into the underlying rationale for why Tanai Shel Mamon works internally in the Shomrim track. He thought this has to do with just like the way the Torah sets up Dinei Shomrim based off that Tosas and Ksivis, is that there are lots of different roots. The Torah is only giving Machayev for the liability that you want to be Chayev. So Tanai is like a natural way to just trigger whatever Torah path of Shomrim you want to trigger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger gives us a second nafgamina to this hischaivus versus tanai question, and that is whether we get into entanglements of like a kinyan dvarim, right? A kinyan that's ineffective because it's just a promise to do something in the future. And he thought, at least within some views, at least within the view that the shas hachiv for a shoel is b'shasa ones, then he thought if the initial kinyan is triggering dinei shomrim, then it's a kosher kinyan because it's doing something that's effective right away. It's turning you into a shomer. If the initial kinyan is hischaivos, then it should be ineffective because you're being mischaiv. You're basically being mischaiv yourself now to be mischayev later. So that might be a problem of just like a kinyan dvarim or a kinyan to be machne. which wouldn't be valid according to halakha. And then the final point that we discussed today is maybe just to challenge that assumption of the Minchas Chinuch, based off what Reb Shmuel said, and that maybe it's not true to always to try to identify the Maisa Kinyan with his Chayvus. Maybe there's a paradigm in which the Maisa Kinyan is required to trigger the track of Shomrim. So, you know, sometimes it's like you need a certain formal Maisa Kinyan to show the seriousness of your desire to be in a certain track. Which I think Rabbi Kiva Eiger is also working with. Like Rabbi Kiva Eiger, I think in his Havamina and Maskana, goes back and forth on exactly on this question, whether to view the Maisa Kinyan here as his Chayvus type Kinyan, or picking out the Tanai track of Shomrim, the route of Shmira responsibility. So I think Rabbi Kiva Eiger was amenable to that suggestion of Rabbi Shmuel Rozovsky. And then just the last thing to bear in mind from today's discussion is whether Tosvos implicitly in Ksuvis Mendalat Mabez is assuming that the paradigm of Mas Meshomer Chinom Lios Kishoel is a Shibud Hischaivus paradigm, and that explains why it could serve as a paradigm for a husband being Mechaiv himself in the Ksuvva, as opposed to the way the Achronim are reading it, that it's really a paradigm of Tanai Shel Mamon. All right? Everybody see the main discussion for today? Great. So what I want to pick up with, I'm going to make one comment on this on Thursday, and then I want to start the first Sigya in Hashava. So we'll start looking at the next parak. We'll talk about Shoel a little bit. We'll talk about Bailavimo, and we'll try to cover a little more ground in the next parak. Sound good? Shkoyach, everyone. Great discussion for today. See you later.